What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
I think the most important mindset shift is that we are, at that point, selling something other than photography. And we are there for service. And that is what our clients are paying for. And they are happy to pay. One thing that helped me was to think about something that I was really excited to purchase that might have been a little bit of a stretch. But I was really excited about it. And drop down into that feeling. And that's what our clients are feeling when they're going to invest money with us. They might be a little nervous about it, but they're also really excited and they're going to love the end product.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I am super excited to dive into today's conversation with Nicole Begley. Nicole is a zoological animal trainer turned pet photographer and educator. She's also mildly obsessed with numbers, Monday boards, pricing, and all aspects of running a business. So much that she actually runs several brands, Freedom Focus Formula and Hair of the Dog Academy being the main ones, in which her main focus is empowering photographers to turn their dreams into reality and create successful and profitable businesses. Her passion project is running her nonprofit, Hair of the Dog Conservation Fund, whose mission is protecting our global biodiversity and inspiring individual action by supporting conservation projects for wild animals and the surrounding community. Now, she's been on my radar for a while, you guys. We have so many mutual friends. So I'm so excited to dive into this conversation. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
So beyond your bio, can you share who you are and your passion?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the one common denominator there is animals. Yeah. I have always been, like, I was a kid growing up, like, no Barbies. I think I just, like, cut their hair and, like, pulled their head off or something. I don't know. I was not into dolls. Back in the Cabbage Patch craze, my mom, like, moved like heaven and earth to get me a Cabbage Patch doll. I was like, great, okay. I never really played with it. I'm like, no dolls. Give me all the animals. So definitely animals. And then along with that, just, you know, running a business and helping people create businesses that help them live the life that they want to live and not have to, you know, go work a 9-to-5 unless they want to.
I love that. You know, it's so funny. And I never actually put that together, is that I was obsessed with babies. Like, obsessed. All I wanted was to be a mama, and I had so many dolls. All I want to do was dress them up,
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so funny.
So it kind of makes sense that I found newborn photography and you found pets.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, quite. I have two kids, but I was like in my mid to late 20s still thinking like, I don't know that I'm ever going to have kids. Like, yeah. I'm good with my cat and a dog and a horse and like, we're good here.
I love it. How old are your kids now?
Oh my gosh, 13 and 16.
Oh, you're in it too. Mine is 14 mm-hmm. and a half, only child, and holy Hannah. Yeah, they That's should have funny. Prepared us for the teen years. I could have used that book.
Right? Yeah, right. I'm pretty lucky. I don't like to brag or like make anyone else feel bad. I don't know what I did to like deserve. I don't know. My daughter's almost 17 and she's still just like, I'm like waiting for the shoe to drop and hasn't yet. But she rides horses and I ride horses and I hold the key to the barn. So she knows that can get taken away. So maybe that helps. I don't know.
Completely. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about pet photography because it is such a cool niche. So I have to ask though, what is the most unusual pet you've been asked to photograph?
Mainly, not really unusual pets per se, but with my zoo world, I have done a couple commercial jobs. Like the most recent one was the Raptor Center here in Charlotte. So we were photographing some vultures, a ground hornbill. Oh my gosh, what else was in there? Some owls, kestrel, like all sorts of poolbirds.
Yeah. So neat. I love that. I love that. So I think let's talk about being in a niche because pet photography really mm-hmm. is a niche, like newborn photography. And I think that there is such a fear when it comes to niching down. And usually photographers think that if they start turning away business, they're not going to have a business. So what advice do you have for those that maybe want to start looking at niching down?
Oh my gosh. All right. So fun fact, when I started my business in 2010, I started as a family photographer.
Yeah.
Because back then it was like, well, all right, if I want to make money, I need to do like an in-demand niche. So, okay, I'll do this. But I always kind of photographed some dogs on the side. And then fast forward to 2015, where, you know, I was running a business that was very profitable, very successful, probably 50% families, 50% pets, but I wanted to grow the pet side. I wanted to start helping more pet photographers, and I knew that I had to let something go.
Yeah.
And that for me was the families. And it was the hardest decision I've ever made because I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed photographing the families. I didn't do anything to market it. It was all word of mouth. Yeah. I had really consistent $3,000 sales, creating beautiful artwork for clients. Like, it was the scariest thing ever. And it was 100% the right decision, but it doesn't mean it's not scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're thinking about that and you're feeling pulled in like one way of, oh man, I really want to focus on this, I feel like you should do that. And that doesn't mean that you have to all of a sudden stop photographing everything else. Like there were still many families that I said, listen, I'm going all pets, but I will photograph your family for as long as you want me to.
Yeah.
So you can make that transition easy. You can say yes to things outside your niche. Maybe you just don't put them on your website. You don't put them on your social. But, you know, if you're feeling called for one particular spot, then you become that master in that spot. And other people looking for a pet photographer or a newborn photographer in their market are likely going to choose a specialist over someone that's like, I specialize in weddings, high school seniors, newborns, you know, bar mitzvah, blah, blah, blah. Like, and they list 10 different things.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. I totally agree. Now, I love that you mentioned $3,000 sales, and I'm sure you've continued doing that in the pet world too, and that's what you mm-hmm. teach your students. I think there's really a big misconception about what clients will pay and maybe mindset shifts that have to occur when it comes to pet photography and pricing. So can you maybe share some mindset shifts that those that might be interested might want to have in order to get into this niche?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, these are the same mindset shifts for any niche. It doesn't matter. Number one, I don't care which niche you're in. There is definitely an opportunity to have high level service and sales and serve a high level client. You know, it doesn't matter. If you are in a market that has, you know, a luxury car dealership within a couple hours drive, you don't have to serve your like teeny tiny town. Like, is there a town an hour away that you want to pull your clients from? As long as there is some disposable income somewhere drivable to you, you can 100% have a luxury business. So I think the most important mindset shift is that we are, at that point, selling something other than photography.
Yeah.
And we are there for service. And that is what our clients are paying for. And they are happy to pay. One thing that helped me was to think about something that I was really excited to purchase that might have been a little bit of a stretch, that was like a little bit of a scary purchase, but I was really excited about it. And drop down into that feeling. And that's what our clients are feeling when they're going to invest money with us. Like, they might be a little nervous about it, but they're also really excited and they're going to love the end product.
Yeah.
So just being able to believe that you're creating this beautiful opportunity for them to create something that they're going to love for the rest of their lives, I think allows us to kind of tap into that service place and stop thinking about ourselves, because no one's thinking about us except us. So we need to get out of thinking about what everyone's thinking about us, because they're not. They're thinking about themselves.
100%. It always reminds me of, I went to, we love to go to all-inclusive resorts, and you know how they have like the photographers there? And so they like stop you on the beach and you get your family photo done and you do a bunch of poses and all that kind of stuff. And then you go and find out how much it actually is. And your mind, you're like, it's like $50 to $100 an image. And you're just like, what? And then you're like, oh, like reality check. Like, if you guys can charge this, and I don't want to knock the photographers, it's not that great photography.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
Right? But because it's our memories and our experience, like we want to hold on to that and we will pay what we pay. Mm-hmm. And I think like I remember having that the first, I think I was been in business maybe 2 or 3 years, and I sort of had that come to Jesus moment. I was like, if I'm willing to pay this for this experience in Mexico, like imagine the experience with a newborn or even a pet. Like, we just lost our cat, and like what I would have given to have those memories forever. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's, we forget to think about the importance when we're thinking about money, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. One other point I want to make with that too is, especially when I was starting and I'd go to like these big industry conferences and like, you know, these older men that have been this business for a long time would say to me like, oh, how cute, you photograph dogs. My pet averages were always the same, if not more, than my family clients. My pet sales have been certainly the top 10 of my career of sales. So pet people will spend money on their pets.
They 100% do. And a lot of the times they're families that have maybe chosen to not have children. And these are their babies.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's such like, I really think, because I'm in Canada and I don't know a lot of pet photographers up here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, this is such an untapped market. Like,
well, and there's such an interesting untapped market that combines family photographers and pets.
Yes.
Like, if you're a family photographer that wants to learn more about photographing pets, untapped market.
Yeah.
You know, I would always encourage my families to bring their dog. And when you're able to capture great expressions of the dog and the kids and the whole family, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, winning. I've done a few where we've done it where I would just set my camera on like just blast and have the dog running at the camera.
Yeah.
And they're the best photos, because you get like the in motion like flapping of the jowls.
Yep. Yep. The ears are everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
So great. So how do you approach capturing the personalities and the unique traits of pets in your photography sessions?
Yeah, well, really, it's all about getting an understanding of the natural behavior of how these animals communicate and how to work with them. Because most important, you know, just like with newborn photography, there's a safety aspect, but there's also a, like, how do I calm a soothing baby, or calm a crying baby? How do I like keep the energy of the dog calm? So it's very similar, totally different. And, you know, with dogs, a lot of times it comes to our pre-session consultation where I'm going to tell the owner, like, listen, when we get there, I'm going to ignore your dog for a minute, you know, because I want the dog to come to me. So it's not me like, oh my God, even though I want to like scream, oh my God, and like mush his face off. Like, if somebody did that to my dog, my dog's people reactive, that would not go well.
Yeah.
So it's setting up the expectation of how it's going to be there. And I'm going to be like, listen, I really love your dog, but I'm going to act like I don't, because I want him to come to me on my turn, on his terms. And then I want all treats during the session really to come for me, because they already love you and I need them to love me. So I'll start being the treat lady. I'll make sure they're comfortable with the camera. And then the key for getting those expressions is really have everything set up. You can have them on leash. 90% of the dogs I photograph are on leash because they're flight risks or anything else. And get everything set. And then you have a squeaker, hunting calls. The distressed rabbit is the best one. It's like a hunting call for like coyotes or something. But it's such a random novel noise, and you can make a whole bunch of different noises with it. And the dogs are like, oh.
Yeah.
And they just immediately start to perk their ears and turn their head. And, you know, and as we work through the session, I just try to get a lot of different expressions, some with the mouth open and smiley and the tongue out, some with the more serious face. We try to get some of that action shots that you talked about, images with their owners, you know, kind of more what's the classic ones where everybody's looking, but also like more relationship ones where it's, you know, the hands or just the legs or, you know, the owner's in it, but out of focus. So, yeah, that's kind of how I work
through.
I love
that. It reminds me a lot of toddlers, actually.
Yeah, 100%. Very similar.
So funny. Now, with toddlers, sometimes they don't cooperate. Do you ever run into an uncooperative animal?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And really, it just becomes the toddlers and the animals are a little bit different, where the toddler actually can be like digging their heels and wanting to be uncooperative.
Yeah.
The dog, usually there's an underlying something else going on, right? They're scared. They're confused. They're just like overwhelmed. So, you know, I look at that as, all right, let's take a step back. What do I need to do to make this dog feel more comfortable? Mm-hmm. So being familiar with the different types of body language dogs might exhibit, that I can see like, oh, this dog's super comfortable. Oh, this dog's starting to get a little bit nervous. Yeah. Oh, this dog's getting really nervous. And, you know, I don't want it to like escalate to an aggressive situation. So, you know, being able to just be familiar with what you're working mm-hmm. with there, and using really training, operant conditioning, which is reinforcing behavior you want to see again and ignoring behavior you don't. If anybody out there wants to get a handle on how to train animals, children, spouses, there's a book called Don't Shoot the Dog by Karen Pryor. It's a really easy read, and it gives you all the basics of like basic operant conditioning training. It's fantastic.
Interesting. I'm totally going to get it.
Yeah. That's what it'd be like.
You had me at spouse.
Why do I want to do this every time you say this word? Oh, yes.
Trigger.
You are conditioned now.
So I would think, especially with an animal, it's important on your location selection to not be in a busy place because of all the distractions and potentially all the other animals that you could encounter off leash. So how do you work on location selection with your clients?
It depends. So some dogs can handle the really busy areas. So like I love to shoot in the city.
Yeah.
So a lot of my sessions that are my favorite are more urban, and a lot of people come to me for that because they like the look of that. It's not just the normal nature stuff, but only certain dogs can handle that. Yeah. So during my pre-session consultation, that's one of the things we talk about, like how comfortable is your dog in new places? How comfortable is your dog in busy places? How comfortable is your dog around new people, new dogs, any sort of reactivity, things like that. And then we'll choose a location based on the dog's behavior. So if it's a dog that's dog reactive or people reactive, like I'm going to go for a place that's not very busy. Or if they're set on downtown, like we're going to do a morning session on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Because then it'll be really quiet, you know. So it's really just having a plethora of options to get the type of images the clients want in ways that are conducive for whatever the dog needs.
Totally. Now, what role do pet owners play in the sessions, and do they play much?
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely. So we talk about that beforehand too.
Yeah.
And I tell them, like, this is the golden rule for owners. It's like, listen, do not try to get your dog's attention, because they're like, I'll be taking a photograph and they'll be like over next to me and they'll be like, Fido, look over there. Look over there. I'm like, you're just causing them to look at you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they think that they're helping, you know, and they want their dog to behave for you, because this is one of the biggest objections people have before they book a pet photography session. And that is that my dog's not going to behave. And then they're going to feel embarrassed if they feel like their dog's not behaving. So that's something that we talk about too during the consultation. I'm like, listen, your dog's going to be a dog. It's fine. I have 100% photographed worse. You're going to feel like the session's not going well. I can assure you it is. And I tell them the rules are basically like, I don't want you to try to get your dog's attention. You know, if I need you to say something or try to get their attention, I'll let you know. Like sometimes I'll have the owner, depends if somebody else is holding the dog or if it's a dog that has a good stay that can be off leash and we're in a safe area to do so, then I can have the owner like walk behind me or say something, or, you know, I just basically direct them and I tell them I'm going to direct them. So that way, if they are like, we're at the session and they kind of forget and they're like, Fido, I just say, oh, remember, let me try to get the attention. And then maybe I'll just redirect them of like, why don't you walk over here or have them do something else?
It's honestly, it's so similar to working with babies and toddlers, because those are the exact same. Because I love like posed portrait baby photography and even like one-year-olds. But whenever I'm working with a one-year-old, it's always like the entire crew behind me. And so you get those pictures where baby's over here. And you're like, no, what I want is like the eye contact. That's the picture you want. Everybody, please be quiet.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, that's what I feel like makes dog photography so impactful is when you have that connection with the subject.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So can you share any memorable experiences or stories from your pet photography sessions that really stand out for you?
Oh, man. I think one of my favorite times was a workshop that I was teaching, and we did it in Costa Rica, and it was incredible. And so we need to find like 30 to 35 dog models for these workshops. And so we reached out to a local rescue that was run by two expats down near Manuel Antonio, and they helped us organize our dog models. But on our last session, we actually went to where they, you know, had their little shelter. And it was, you know, it's just a random spot in Costa Rica, but right down the road is this beautiful river, this tropical jungle. It was like amazing. So we just took the dogs down there. And we used the adoptable dogs as our models for that particular session. And so then they could use them to go get the dogs adopted. And it was just magic.
I love that so much. I've been watching TikTok recently, and there was a fellow that was doing that with shelter dogs as well. And just like basically just having them on a white background and showing like their intake photo and then what they're doing. And I'm just like, this is just, oh, this makes my heart. Like, I just want to cry. I love this so much. You're doing God's work. All right. So great. So let's switch a little bit of gears. And I want to talk a little bit about business. And I want to talk a little bit about the four stages of photography business and how the messaging of what we offer has to change as we increase our pricing. So can you maybe share what the four stages are? And we'll dive into that.
This is my favorite soapbox. Basically, like over a decade of helping mentoring other photographers, I've realized every single photography business pretty much goes through these three of four stages. You don't have to get to the fourth, but if you're in business long enough, you usually do want to get there. And that is like kind of starting off on level one, which is our like all-inclusive, low-cost digital, because we're like just trying to figure out how the heck our camera works, right? Yeah. So like to try to build a business at the same time, you're like, oh, so you're like, all right, I got to learn my craft. And it's okay to earn some money on the side. But, you know, we all know that if you stay there too long, you're going to get burnout. You're not going to be profitable. Like it's a short-term stay only. And then you move up to level two, where you're starting to bring products into your business. And that's a whole nother, like when you started to learn your camera. So that level of sometimes can feel like overwhelm, but now on the business side, you know, but it's, all right, how do we start to sell products? How do we start to like, usually you start to hit your first $1,000 sale around here, and you're getting your feet wet with like printing and customer service and maybe some live sales and things like that. And then the goal, I think, for everyone should be get to level three as quickly as possible, which is what I consider the bread and butter on the quickest way to a six-figure business, which is getting to that $2,000 or $3,000 average sale where you're 33 to 50 clients a year. You're selling products, you're selling service. And then that higher level, which is optional, is like the $3,500 to $5,000 average sale, like the truly luxe space. The way the messaging changes as we go up is no one's spending $5,000 on photographs. They're spending $5,000 on an experience. And the key to starting to talk to those level three and four clients is to start to tap into their identity and their values. Like, why are they looking after this? Why do they want to have this photography session? You know, for a newborn, maybe it's like, oh my gosh, this is our first baby. Or maybe we've tried for 5 years to have this baby. Yeah. It's a miracle baby. Like, you're going to ask them, why do you want to have this session? You're going to find out why, what's important to them. So then you can start talking to them about that. You can even ask, one of my favorite questions is, what's most important to you in this experience? You know, and then they can talk about either, you know, for me, it's one of two things. Usually it's someone saying, hey, I just moved in a couch or to a new house. I know you specialize in beautiful wall art and I would love to get something really cool in my living room. Awesome. Or it's somebody that's like, This dog is my heart dog. She's been with me since college, through marriage, divorce, through baby, like whatever. Yeah. And, you know, she's getting older and I want to capture memories. I'm going to talk to those two clients differently, even though it's the same service. So once you start to understand that, the price objections start to disappear. And then those level three and four people are going to book you because you understand them and you know why they're coming to get the service.
I love that. It's interesting. I've been on a sabbatical for the past year and I'm going to be coming back hopefully in the fall with I burned myself out, honestly, Nicole. And I was undercharging, over delivering, doing that same cycle. And I've been in business since 2010 myself. Like,
right.
I teach, I know better, but I wasn't doing the things I should be doing, right? You know, is what it is, right? So I unfortunately, I had to stop the ride because I was just like, this just needs to I just need a break and I need to figure out what this business is going to look like if I decide to go back and what it's going to look like. And so I had made an announcement recently and I had a client, she's like, I'm expecting and I'm due in October, November, and we would love for you to do our photos again. And I'm like, absolutely, I'd love to. Here is my new pricing. And she's like, and then I was like, you might want to just discuss it because it has changed. Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't have to look, Lisa, regardless of what you charge, I'm going to pay that. Like I was, and I was just like, because I'd been having those heart, like, oh my gosh, like. This is
it happens to all of us. Right? I think a lot of photographers think just because we've been in the industry so long that we don't have the same belief challenges situations that they do. Like every time I'm having a big sale, I'm like, oh my God, did they look at my pricing? Did they know what this is costing them? Right. Oh, I'm going to have to tell a number.
Right.
So every time still. And then every time I have an inquiry and they're like, oh, you know, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
I have that moment where my conscious mind is like, see, you should lower your prices. Yeah. I'm like, no, no, I should not. You know, it happens to all of us.
Right. It's so funny. And it's just even just standing in that, because I did have another inquiry and they're like, sorry, that's just not in our budget. Yeah. And I'm like, absolutely no fun. Like, that's no problem.
Right.
And I did have that moment where I was like, oh no, I went too far. I went too
far. It's not going to work.
Right. And then I'm like, no, just stand in this. It's going to work. It's going to work. Just stay, hold.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Oh, goodness. So with messaging shifts with these four stages, what are the shifts that they need to make in their marketing?
Yeah, really it's about talking to these different stages. So when you're at that level one and you're just learning your camera and you're just like, you know, I want people to practice getting paid. Like you hear a lot of shame around a shoot and burn photographer. And I'm like, if that's where you are and you're just starting, I don't think that should be shameful. I mean, I just think you need to know that you can't stay there long term because you will burn out.
Mm-hmm. Believe me.
But you know, there it really is just about photography. And it's like, hey, here's a great deal. It's like a almost impulse buy from a consumer, like, oh, that would be fun. Yeah, that's affordable. Let's do it. And then you start to move up to the level two, which you're starting to have products. So now we're going to talk about our products. And you've always heard talk about the benefits, not the features. So for instance, only mounted prints ever leave my studio. But if I said to clients, my prints are mounted on styrene with a UV coating and a linen texture, it's Latin to them. They have no idea what that is. But instead I say, hey, these prints are not like your normal floppy prints. They have a backing so they don't bend. They have a special coating so they don't fade, and a linen texture just because it makes it extra beautiful.
Yeah.
So you're talking to them about why they need those things. Mm-hmm. So at that level, it's a little bit more about these products, why they might want the products versus digitals, how the products are more valuable. And then when you get to three and four, that value and identity piece is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Asking people why they're looking to do this session, asking them what's most important to them in that session. And then you get the values and then you can speak to those and it just makes such a bigger connection with them.
I love that.
And all of that should be on your website.
Yeah.
So as you're at level three and four, I can hear people out there like, Nicole, their values might be different. Yeah, but you know generally what your target client values. Yeah. You know, if I was selling artisanal chocolate, my target client would care about the single origin chocolate with the fair trade conditions of the people that are growing the chocolate. They would care about environmentally sustainable growth of the chocolate and things like that. So what messaging pieces about what you offer will appeal to that that identity that you want to attract into your business. So for pet photographers, everyone with a dog is not our client. Like someone that keeps their dog chained out behind their house is certainly not our client. Someone who looks at their weekend and figures out what they're doing with their dog and planning their weekend around their dog. Like, let's go to this brewery because it's dog friendly, but we're not going to go over here. But we'll take the dog for a hike and then we'll go here and there. Like, that's my target client. Yeah. So me writing a website to that person looks very different than writing a website to the person that has the dog is just an animal chained up behind their house.
Yeah. Do you do cats as well?
Sometimes, yeah. But yeah, the very few, like the, I think people don't have the same emotional, I love cats.
Yeah.
I mean, I will have cats forever, but I think they don't have the same emotional connection.
Yeah.
And I think they also think that the cat won't participate because it is a whole different ball of wax.
Totally.
I mean, I used to, when I would do cat sessions, I would basically tell them, I'm like, listen, like a newborn session. Now here, like, I don't know. It could be 45 minutes. It could be 3 hours. We don't know. So that's what I would tell them.
I love it. We have, we've got a 27-pound Maine Coon.
Oh.
And he's a Maine Coon ragdoll. And they're, uh-huh. and they're the, like, we've got two of them. And when I shoot at my home, especially outdoor sessions, they photobomb every single session. They are,
oh my God, I love it.
Everybody's family photos. They're so friendly.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I love it.
Love it. So can you share a little bit about your platform, Freedom Focus Formula?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a new website and actually the podcast. So I have my podcast. It's now called Freedom Focus Photography, but we have over 200 episodes on there because it started as Hair of the Dog podcast. So
yeah.
We just had a name change, but it has been about the same thing. It's been about business. It's been about pricing. It's been about marketing. It's been a lot about the mindset of what is required to run a business, because I find that is the biggest differentiator between people that are going to be successful and people that struggle is what's going on between their ears. Like they're getting the same information. They're getting the same strategies. But the thoughts that we're thinking kind of keep us behind this wall of being unable to take the action or taking the action with disbelief. So then the results don't happen. So we talk about all those things.
Yeah,
you can check it out at freedomfocusformula.com.
I love it. All right. You ready for our lightning round?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it.
If you like to cook, what do you like to cook the most?
Oh, my God. I like to cook takeout.
Okay. What's on the menu?
Sushi.
Yeah.
Italian. Yeah. Oh, okay. So let's rewind 4 years ago when like the world was shutting down, right? And it was like my biggest fear. I was like, oh, I have a family of four that I'm going to need to cook for all the freaking time. And it actually turned out I didn't hate the cooking. I hated the planning and not knowing what was there. And also just the rush of, you know, because I'm working and I love my business. So I'm like, keep on working. And then it's like, all right, the kids are home. Now we have to go to soccer. Now we have this, but now we need food. And it was, I hated and still hate that like rush and crunch of time.
Yeah.
Where if it was like, oh, I work, I can make myself a glass of wine or a chocolate martini and make some dinner. Like that was lovely.
I love it. I love it.
But now it's all about ease. So takeout, Costco, crockpot meals, whatever.
Seriously, Costco saves my life. Right? What did you want to be when you grew up as a kid?
Shocker. I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Yeah.
Turns out I married a veterinarian instead. I thought I was going to go to vet school, but then I found the whole zoo world.
Yeah.
I was doing an internship at the Pittsburgh Zoo in college. And I was like, oh, it can be a animal trainer or a zoological, you know, keeper, but I focus more on the training side and all the keepers really train nowadays. And I was like, this is amazing. So I did that for 13 years and still love it. Like I there's times that I wish that I would go back, but I wouldn't actually trade where I am now for that. Yeah. Just with the freedom of being able to travel. I love to travel. So we get to travel a lot where, you know, I had a certain number of vacation days, which I could never go back to.
I'm
completely unemployable.
No, I am completely unemployable too. Right. Yeah. Oceans or mountains and why?
Oh, how about option three, a lake in the mountains?
Ooh, good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
Oh, definitely guilty and definitely The Bachelor.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Uh-huh.
Did you catch Love is Blind on Netflix at all?
I've been starting to watch that one because people have said, and I'm like, oh, I still, it's good, but not, it's not to my obsessive Bachelor level.
Oh,
I think
it.
Because Bachelor has so much travel interwoven with it, which actually I'm just catching up on the current season and they're in Jasper.
Oh, that's cool. I love it.
And I'm like, oh, I need to go.
Where do you feel most centered and happy?
At the barn with my horse. Yeah.
Love that. I thought you said the bar.
I know. Everyone always thinks I say the bar. When I also just got Invisalign a couple days ago, so I'm still trying to learn how to properly talk. So if you guys sound like I'm slurring my words, especially S's, it's the Invisalign. I was not at the bar.
Instead, I love
it. I go to the stables where my horse lives.
I love it.
So good. Go-to song that lifts you up when you're down.
Okay. All right. I guess right now, I didn't think I was a Swiftie, but, you know,
yeah.
Turns out I pick just about any of numerous songs.
Yeah. I didn't know I was a Swiftie too until like the Super Bowl. Oh my gosh. I was watching with my in-laws and we get there and everyone's like, who are you going for? I'm like, I don't know who's playing, but I'm going for Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team. And I'm like, he's going to win. He's got to win. And like the whole time they're like, they're not going to win. They're not going to win. I'm like, they're going to win. And they won.
Gonna watch. That's funny.
What's the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
Oh, I think probably a combination, maybe something about, well, this is one of my favorites too, is what got you here won't get you there, which is just like, I see so many people trying the same thing and the same thing and the same thing, where you just have to shift. And maybe you don't have to shift much, but you need to shift something.
Yeah.
And often it's a thought.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for someone who's just starting out?
Oh, this is good. Number one, don't be too like concerned on your timeline. Like, stop looking at everyone else and thinking I should be here by now, or I should be further along, or any of those shoulds, because you are where you are and that's fine. That's your own journey, that's your own time frame. And then along with that, like, oh my gosh, I still invest heavily in education. Like, I am in a mastermind every year that costs quite a bit of money. Like, I will not do it. Like, it is so helpful. So like, just being able to earn some money, that's why I'm so adamant that like, you're just starting out, like, let's put together something really easy, low cost, make some money so you have some money to invest in your business, not just on gear, but definitely education as well.
Yeah, I love that. So where can our listeners learn more from you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Freedom Focus Photography Podcast. I'm on anywhere that you listen. And then if you want to connect with me on Instagram, I am Nicole Bagley Official. And yeah, various websites, hairofthedogacademy.com, freedomfocusformula.com, and hodconservationfund.org if you want to check out the nonprofit.
Love it. And you're actually going to be coming to teach for the Milky Way for the next family retreat. So can you share a little bit on what you're going to be teaching our students?
Oh my gosh. If you're interested in learning to add in that furry set to your family sessions, you're not going to want to miss it. So we're going to be talking about all those different things that you need to know to prepare for those sessions and how to work with the dogs and the families together, because it quite literally is a different animal.
I love it. I'm so excited about this topic. Can't wait to have it. So yay. I love to end my interviews just with this last question, and it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
Oh, man. Let's see. I'm always curious about travel and how to incorporate still photography while I travel. Like, whenever I go somewhere, oftentimes I do drag my camera and like, I'll find a model, and some of my most favorite images that I ever created were created like on vacation when I dragged my gear for like a week through Ireland, just for one shot that I had envisioned in the Dark Hedges, which is like one of my favorite shots ever, and repeat this on numerous places that I go. So I'm always planning new adventures.
Love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you have enjoyed this conversation just as much as I have. I'm sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We'll see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.